10. If you have your Bible or your Bible app with you, I invite you to pull it out at this time. We are going to be looking today at the book of Romans, chapter 15, specifically verses 1 through 7. We're returning this morning to Paul's theological masterpiece. The book of Romans has been held by many to be some of the deepest, richest theology that we can find anywhere in Scripture, but it also takes a little bit of patience to dig out the meaning that's there, and when we take it as a whole, we also can see some amazing application to the way that we live our lives as the community of faith. We're doing all of this in the midst of our One Another series. We started a number of weeks ago with Love One Another, which is the foundation for all the rest, but then we moved on to Forgive One Another, Bear with One Another, Comfort One Another, Serve One Another, and today, Accept One Another. Romans 15, I'll begin reading in verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be gathered together today in this space. We gather together as your people, united by you. And as Barbara mentioned just a moment ago in our Voices video, sometimes when we look around this room, we wonder what it is that unites us and brings us together. We recognize in the midst of our worship today that even though it's not everything we enjoy or all the hobbies we participate in or the views that we espouse in this world, but instead the thing that unites us and holds us together is you. And so this morning, as we gaze into this text and we consider together what Paul is teaching about accepting one another, I pray you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. I pray you give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And I pray that you give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way that we live every day. Amen. Well, this text, it might seem a little bit familiar to you because we have returned to this text on about a yearly basis for the last 5 or 6 years. And I think that's appropriate. I think this is the kind of text and the kind of lesson that we as the body of Christ need to be reminded of again and again and again, both because it's challenging for us to truly do what Paul's asking of us here, to accept one another, but also because it is to be the signature of the church in this world, that folks who are not involved in church would look at communities like ours and see there's something different happening there. The way that they accept and support one another, it's something beyond what I see in the rest of the world around me. So let's dig in together to this message today and see if we can't discern what Paul has for us, what God has for us. The idea here is to accept one another. And the text itself is actually bigger than the 7 verses I just read. The unit, the teaching unit on this actually goes all the way back to chapter 14, verse 1. You start there and you extend all the way to 15, verse 7, and you have this teaching unit that Paul is bringing. If we look back at 14, verse 1, he says this, accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. And then fast forward to 15, verse 7, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another. That is what Paul is teaching, and it's contained in all of these verses. The word that Paul uses for acceptance is proslambano in Greek, and it means to accept one another into one, to accept someone into one's society, one's home, or one's circle of acquaintance. And this acceptance is firmly rooted in the example of Jesus. We accept others as he has accepted us. Now, we might be sitting here today in the midst of our worship and think, why would this even be a question? Why would it even be an issue or a question that we accept one another? But apparently it was an issue in the church at Rome. There were two main issues that were actually breaking them apart, making acceptance difficult, bringing about division. If you look back at 14 verse 2, you can see that what they were eating was an issue in the church of Paul's day. One person eats everything, another eats only vegetables. What they were choosing to eat was dividing them as a community. And then in chapter 14, verse 5, how they viewed the days of the year. How they viewed the days of the year. One sees one day more sacred than another, and another sees every day alike. That's what we see. Those two issues were ripping the church apart in Rome. And it was likely caused by the return of Jewish Christians to Rome after the death of Emperor Claudius in AD 54. They had been exiled. They had left during persecution. And during the time that they were away from Rome, the church continued to grow, but it was growing with Gentile believers, those who were non-Jewish, those who had no background in Judaism. They were finding Jesus. They were hearing about Jesus, and they were saying, this is the one I want to follow. This is the one I want to believe in. And the church was gathering momentum. And then when the exile ended, the Jewish believers came back into Rome. And as they entered into Rome, they returned to a Christian church composed of Gentiles who were absolutely unconcerned with ceremonial law. You can imagine where the tension comes, right? Two groups thrown together, following after the same Savior, but with an entirely different understanding of what all of this was supposed to look like. Paul names the two groups. He calls them the strong and the weak. The strong are those who enjoy more freedom. It's a little bit counterintuitive. The strong enjoy more freedom with fewer rules, and the weak are those who remain bound by rules. Paul sort of lets his bias show when he says this. He's talking about the fact that we don't necessarily need all these rules anymore because we have Jesus, we have grace at work in our lives. But Paul is clear that neither of these groups is in the wrong. There's some sense early on that the weak are immature, but that's not the main force of Paul's teaching. What's the main teaching? Stop judging one another. In chapter 12, Paul's already dealt with this. He says, leave room for God's wrath. We talked about that passage back when we talked about forgiving one another. One of the reasons we can be confident in forgiving one another is we are released from the responsibility of punishing wrongdoers in this world. It's not up to us to punish the ones who've wronged us, but instead we leave that to God. We leave that to God's power and God's wisdom so that we can stop judging one another. Paul makes a similar statement here. He says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own masters, a servant will stand or fall. What that means for us is to our own master, to our own God, we stand or fall. And so it's not on everybody else to judge how I'm doing or on me to judge how you are doing. We are to be focused on our God and following after our God and not obsessed with judging, parsing things out, setting up different groups of right and wrong. We're to stop judging each other. In place of that judgment, Paul urges three specific things, and they are the perfect antidote to what was happening at the church in Rome, and I believe they are the perfect antidote for us today. And not just us here at Fletcher Hills, but for our country. Here we are post-election, and Christians across our nation are in a divided state. There are some who are celebrating the outcome of the election and others who are grieving the outcome of the election. There are differing views among people who hold a similar faith in Jesus Christ. And into that situation and those potential divisions that arise out of it comes a text like this inspired by God to help us as believers to see that we can choose to accept one another. We can choose to be united even in the midst of divisive times like we find ourselves in post-election. Paul says three things that fit our situation. The first is accept one another. We've talked about this. In 14:1, in 15:7, and really all the way through that section, Paul is saying, here are the reasons you should accept one another. And though I didn't read that entire text to you today, in your bulletin it's listed, and the questions in your bulletin deal with all of those verses, and I encourage you, I plead with you this week, to take the time to sit down and read all the way through 14, verse 1, to 15 verse 7 and to sit and to stew on that teaching and see what God might be bringing to you. Accept one another is the first thing that Paul says. Secondly, he says, hold firmly to your convictions. Chapter 15, verse 5 says this, each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. That's a little surprising, isn't it? If we're working on accepting one another, the second thing that Paul says is hold firmly to your convictions. I don't know about you, but in my mind, if I hold really firmly to my convictions and someone is over here holding really firmly to their convictions, it seems to make acceptance more challenging. Because doesn't acceptance seem to say I should loosen up a little bit? I should ease up a little bit on what I believe in so that we can find common ground. But that's not what Paul's saying. If we choose to follow what Paul's saying and accept one another, we don't have to release our convictions. We don't have to set them down. We don't have to walk away. We hold firmly to the things we believe, but we also hold firmly to the command, to the invitation, to the exhortation that comes from Scripture that we unite with one another. And just like we saw in the video a few minutes ago, maybe there's a couple topics we put in parentheses, as Barbara said. We're not going to be addressing those or talking about those because we know where that's going to lead. But there are a lot of other places that unite us in Christ. We focus on those as we accept one another and we stay in community together. Accept one another. Hold firmly to your convictions. And finally, stay together, Paul seems to be suggesting. Is division inevitable? Well, that's the Protestant tradition, isn't it? That's why we have hundreds and even thousands of Protestant denominations. You know, we can find anything to fight about, anything to divide over. The joke is always about the carpet color, right? Or what types of coffee and juice we're serving after worship, all the way down to more theological issues. But we tend to divide when we differ with one another. And Paul seems to be saying, stay together. Don't divide. Stay together as one body. That's what you were meant to be. Paul seems to be suggesting here that we do not need to divide. Paul seems to be suggesting here that our unity in the Spirit transcends our shared moral consensus. Our unity in the Spirit transcends our shared moral consensus. That might sound confusing because we look at the issues they were struggling with in Rome and we're just talking about what you eat and whether or not some days are more special than others. Is that really a moral concern? For them it was. For them it was. Because they saw these as issues of idolatry and improper worship, and their disagreements were breaking their church apart. These issues for them were as supercharged as many of our issues today. We think of divorce and sexuality and greed and war and gun control. All these issues that we're voting on and dividing over, these are supercharged moral issues for us. And yet the issues they were wrestling with were supercharged moral issues for them as well. And still, into that situation, Paul does not say, run from each other. He does not say, find another church down the street. He says, accept one another. We stay together. Be unified with the power of the Holy Spirit because that's what Christ has called us to. We accept one another even as Christ accepted us. Is it possible? Paul thinks so, and so do I. Acceptance is the key. Because acceptance doesn't require approval. It doesn't require exclusion. But what acceptance does is it creates a type of spaciousness in a community that allows a chance to study, to pray, to discern, to debate, all the while worshiping, fellowshipping, and sharing in the kingdom. This has been my hope for years here at Fletcher Hills, that we become the kind of community that feels spacious in this same way. Because the truth is, I could choose a topic and press hard into it and divide us, I think, pretty easily. If you're the true church, this is what you're going to do and you're going to follow me over there. And you could choose a topic and say to your friend, unless you change your mind, I'm out of here. Or if you voted for so-and-so, I don't want anything to do with you. And yet instead, we have a spaciousness We don't question each other's devotion to Jesus. We simply parse out what it looks like to live after Jesus' example. And sometimes I'm going to be doing something a little different than you because of that. And maybe we can create a safe enough spaciousness that I can ask you, how's that work? How did you get there? How did you get from here to there? And why is your faith expressing itself this way? But we do it within the safety of the spaciousness that we've been called to. Accepting one another, trusting that the Holy Spirit's bigger than us and can unite us even in the midst of diversity. We're stronger when we're together, when we trust in Christ and follow after Christ together, when we display a maturity in the face of the drama and the trauma that's unfolding around us in our world. We have the power and the resources we need in the Holy Spirit to do this. If we're serious about creating a space where everyone can grow and anyone can explore the beauty of our Savior Jesus and what it looks like to follow after him. Let's do this together. I pray that we can. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, doing what we've just been talking about is anything but easy. Anything but easy, I know that. And we need the resource of your Holy Spirit in order to do this. We need to rely upon the teachings of the scriptures. We need to create that safety and space where we can talk with one another and encourage one another and strengthen one another even as we espouse different views on things in this world. We desire to draw together because we are unified in you, to resist the division that comes far too easily in our world today. God, I pray for each of us. Soften our hearts, open our eyes. Show us how to stick together in the midst of these times. At the same time, God, we pray for this entire world around us, especially our nation, when division is going to be so easy to fall into in the months and years ahead. Help us to figure out what it looks like to stick to our faith in you and the unity we find with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I lift all of these things to you now, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.